Today is a special day as we're kind of working through this series. It's kind of one of those culmination opportunities to share with you our ministry fair. It's kind of unfortunate that it snowed this morning. Our attendance is smaller than normal. However, God knows exactly who needs to be here. I always trust him with that. And so you are here, and God is going to speak into your hearts and hopefully challenge you. At the close of the service, Sharon and I will not be standing at the door. We're going to be moving toward the WellFit gym, and so we're going to ask you to actually, we're not locking these doors. You could obviously go out any other door, but we would ask if you would try to go out the back doors that are on either side of the bleachers. Those doors will empty right into the WellFit gym, and that'll give you an opportunity to see what really happens here on a weekly basis or a monthly basis, some of the ministries that are apart. There will be like 51 tables out there of different things that are taking place here. And so many times you will walk around and go, I didn't know they did all that here. And that's what we hope. And then you might say, you know, I think I'd like to be in this. That might be like a great thing. And so we'll be helping to share that with you, and hopefully you'll be really both encouraged and challenged as a result. Today, we're going deeper by finding my place to serve. For God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for him and how you have shown your love to him by caring for other believers as you still do. Now think about that. It's several things just in this verse in Hebrews. He will not forget how hard you have worked for him. So that should probably put a challenge before us, because if you're not working hard, like, it's already forgotten, right? But if you're working for the Lord, I mean, nothing is unnoticed and is missed. So he will not forget. And how you have shown your love to him by caring for others. So we show our love for God by how we treat one another. So what an incredible verse to help us to remember. It's not just how high you praise, but it's how straight you walk. That's what God wants us to be aware of. That's what he wants us to be able to know. And so it's an important message that we're trying to find out. What does he want to use my life in this journey? Let's pray. Father, open our hearts. Teach us this morning. We're trusting in your work, in your will, and your word. In Christ's name, amen. Let me talk about the fact, and each week of this journey of these messages, I've been putting something similar in that first section. What is the path to spiritual maturity? How can we understand, how does God want us to go deeper? Because let me tell you, I say this about every week, God always prepares you for whatever is coming ahead. There's never an accident, never a surprise in God's world. God never goes, oh, I didn't see that coming. No, we do that, but God never does. God says, okay, hold on. I know this is hard, but I'm getting you ready for something because it's coming. And so we keep saying, okay, Lord, I'm with you on this. I'm with you on this. And when it comes, it doesn't blow us away. I'm not saying it doesn't unsettle us, but it doesn't unnerve us or unseat us. We've already been prepared. You see, that's what God's doing in everything that comes to our life. And so that's why understanding, how do I make myself available to God? How do I go deeper? How do I make sure I'm really prepared for whatever's going to come in my future? Well, that's what we've been trying to say each week. Put these into practice, and you'll be prepared no matter what you're facing. Because spiritual maturity is developed by obediently following God's word. So he's going to tell you what you need to do. He's going to show you. He's going to open up pathways. And let me say, God is always going to remind you until you stop listening. So, like, that's one of the things. You know, you don't have to say, wow, did I miss it? Was God telling me something and didn't I get it? Oh, no. if you don't get it and you don't understand it, he's going to keep coming back and saying, "Now, here's what I'm saying. Are you getting it? Do you understand? You need to do this. This is a priority. This is how you need to follow." So he's going to continue to do that to help you become aware of your need in your life and what you need to be prepared for in the future. So be obedient, because that's part of that journey. Spiritual maturity is developed by being in relationships with fellow believers. There's something that comes by relationship that doesn't come in any other way. When you're in relationships, that kind of rounds off those sharp edges, because you start seeing, like, you're not getting along with people. You say, I remember hearing one woman, and she told me, every place I go, the people, like, they're just so rude. I went to New York, and everybody there is just rude. And my wife and I have been there always, lots. We've not encountered that at all. And then I started looking at her life, and she's pretty rude. She's pretty in your face. And instead of seeing her own self, she just sees everybody else has a problem. Well, I'm telling you, if you think everyone has a problem, guess what they all have in common? You. Yes, it's you. And that's why God puts us in relationships to help us become what we need to be. Whether it's marriage or friends or church or family, he puts us in those relationships. And those relationships help us to become better. They help us to grow. They help us to develop. And that's why spiritual maturity is all a part of that. You just don't walk out of those relationships. You just don't give up on all those people. You see, how does God want to help me in this journey? What does he want to do in my life? Spiritual maturity is developed by putting into practice the Word of God on a regular basis. So I'm not only hearing it, but I'm doing something about it. I'm putting it into practice. So I'm trying to understand, what does God want me to do? How does he want me to use this? How does he want to work through my life? And spiritual maturity is developed as we give in service to one another. Because how you serve one another tells God, well, he already knows what's in your heart, but it really tells you more than anyone. God's not surprised to say, "Wow, they just didn't love me like I thought they did." He already knows that. But we don't realize how little we love God until we see us in a relationship with others and we're not really caring, and then it starts to open up to us where we are. For we are God's masterpiece. Why don't you read that together? Because I think it's a great passage and we all need to be reminded. Let's read it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Nobody here is an accident. Not one of you. I don't care whether your parents planned on you or not. God planned on you. In fact, he planned on you long ago. So, and he designed you to do his work. Now, there's some great stuff here. Rick Warren talks about finding my shape, and it's one of the best ways to describe that. So I'm going to use his model as I share that with you this morning as he talks about shape. He says this: God has given every creature he made a special area of expertise to fulfill its purpose. This is true for every one of us. You were uniquely designed, wired, and shaped by God to do certain things. You're a custom-designed, one-of-a-kind, original masterpiece. God never wastes anything. He would not give you abilities, interests, talents, gifts, and personality, and life experiences unless he intended to use them for his glory. So, this is a great thing. So, if you feel at any moment like, "What's my purpose? Do I have a, like, I just feel like I don't have a purpose in life. I don't really know what I'm here for. I don't really know what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't know. Maybe I'm unimportant. Maybe I shouldn't even be in this world." Maybe you think all those things. Let me tell you this. Those are lies. That is the enemy lying to you. The enemy devalues life. God values life to the utmost. And so that's what, any time there's a devaluing of life, that is not God. That is the enemy trying to discourage and destroy you. Remember that God never wastes anything, and he wants to use you. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. So let's look at those. First of all, God gives spiritual gifts. Here's the question that you need to ask: what am I gifted to do? That's an important part when each of us look at this. So, spiritual gifts are, I know this is pretty basic, spiritual. Wow. Go ahead, you can go there. Wow. Yeah, see, I knew you'd be excited. The fact is, that means you have to be spiritual to get it. So, when you are born again, you give your heart to Christ, guess what? He gives you a gift. And so every one of us has a gift. So that's good news, folks, right? And so then you say, what am I gifted to do? By God, because that's who gave it to you. And so now each one of you. So if you have a gift, what is the gift for? Yes, you don't hold on to it. You share it. You use it. You make sure that you're doing something with it. So if he's given you a gift, then what are you doing with the gift he's given you? You've got to ask that question, because you've got to say, well, I'm not using it yet, but I need to be. Right. Well, what is it that you're gifted to do? So you have to look through those questions, trying to understand what is the spiritual gift. Now, there are three places in Scripture where you can find those spiritual gifts. You can look at 1 Corinthians 12. You can look in Ephesians 4. You can look at Romans 12. So those three places are spiritual gifts. You could be able to, and you say, well, I've looked at those. I'm still not sure. You could come. We teach a spiritual gifts class. You could ask at our Connection Center, when is that happening? Because I need to find my spiritual gift. How many of you would say, I know what my spiritual gift is? Could I see your hands? Okay. So now, my next question is, what are you doing with it? Because you already know what you're gifted to do. So if you know what you're gifted to do, are you using it? Or are you sitting on it? Oh, I would hope not. You're not hiding it under a bushel. No. You're going to let it. You got it. So each of us, please understand, if you aren't using your gift, you're not finding purpose in your life. If you're not finding purpose, you're discouraged, depressed. You're down because you're not doing what you were gifted to do. So we've got to make sure that we're doing it. Second is heart. What do I love to do? What do I love to do? You find out, what am I gifted to do? What do I love to do? Because then that helps you to understand. I have to tell you, I never feel like I don't want to do what I'm doing. I love what I'm doing. I love getting up and going to work, maybe even more than I should. I love it. I love doing what I'm doing. I love getting up and studying and preparing to speak. I love sharing it with you. I love when you get excited about hearing it. That even does more for me. I have to tell you, it was a long time ago. Sharon and I went to New York City, and I spoke at the Haitian church there. And they speak both French and or Creole and English. And so and they're very lively. So I would get lots of amens, both in French and English. And honestly, I think I almost preached myself to death. I was so excited because I felt like they were listening. And I know this is Central PA, and I know we're mostly white, so I know that that's a little bit different. But it sure does help when I see faces that are engaged, because then it's like, okay, well, what do I love to do? Ask yourself that question, because these all fit together to help you find out, what am I doing that I'm supposed to be doing? Where do I find my purpose? How do I make sure that I'm discovering that? Ability, what was I designed to do? You see, God created you with certain abilities. And these may run parallel to your spiritual gifts, but he's created you for these particular opportunities. So you ask the question, you know, what do I love to do? You know, what is my gift? What am I gifted to do? And what was I designed to do? Because when you start putting those together, you start finding, like, yes. You see, I'm not really a big advocate of burnout. Because I think if you're doing what you love to do, I mean, like, think about something you particularly love to do. How many times do you say, I'm just so sick of having fun with this? You don't do that because you love doing it. So think about what you love to do, what you're designed to do, you know, what you're, you know, we're looking at when we're, what am I gifted to do? You put all those together and you start saying, wow, this is it. This is it. So what fits me and who I am? You see, we all have different personalities. And so we're not all the same. Let me just clear it off the table. There are introverts and extroverts and all sorts of things in between. There's no one that is better than another. Everything that God created, he said, it is good. So if there were one that was better than another, then we would say, okay, then extroverts are better than introverts. No, that's not true. They're all good. But they all have different ways that God wants to use them. So you find where it is. And I will say this, God's always going to nudge you a little farther than you're comfortable. And why? Because if you're totally comfortable, you depend on yourself. When you're uncomfortable, you depend on God. And that's what we need to be doing. We need to be saying, okay, Lord, this is a little out of my comfort. Now, don't go way out or you'll sink. But just go a little out of your comfort. And then you find, this is a little out of my comfort, but I'm willing to do it because I believe you've gifted me. I have a heart for this. I want to find out how you've designed this for me. And experiences. What have my experiences equipped me to do? Now, I have to tell you, as we said, God never wastes anything. And so everything that's about my life, God has prepared me for this time. So he's given me experiences that help me to be able to use whatever is a part of my life. Those could be vocational, what kind of a job you're doing. God's going to use everything. Your educational background, he's going to use that. Relational, what have you learned from your relationship experiences? Spiritual, how has God developed you in your spiritual journey? Painful. And probably this is the most important one. The pain that you have learned is probably some of your greatest teaching tools. It's probably how he wants to use you. I know Sharon and I have talked about that often. The pains that have been a part of our life were never what we would choose for ministry, but God has used that both to develop us and help us to be able to minister to others. And so that's part of that journey that's a part of whatever comes to your life. So, have you experienced so much for nothing? Surely it was not in vain, was it? Those are Paul's words in Galatians. Boy, it sounds like I could have just asked that myself, right? In a question, because that's how relevant the Bible is for our lives. Jesus gave us the model for serving. So here's what we see. There's so much here, I couldn't minimize the scripture, so I'm just going to have us all read it together because I just think it's a great, great passage. This is one of those passages that I memorized one time because I really felt like this is on spiritual maturity. So if you want to develop in spiritual maturity, this is a great passage to be able to look at. So let's read it together. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue can declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen, right? Dear friends, you have always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I'm away, it's even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you what the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Do everything without... I knew you said that. Do it again. Do everything without... Got it. And arguing so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Is that our world or what? Hold firmly to the word of life. Then on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless. But I will rejoice even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God, just like your faithful service is an offering to God. And I want all of you to share that joy. Yes, you should rejoice, and I will share your joy. Several things from this passage. First, I want to have the same attitude as Christ Jesus. We see first, Jesus humbled himself. He humbled himself. Do you realize this is the King of Kings? He loved us so much that he was willing to become totally defenseless as a babe. Totally defenseless. A babe is totally dependent on someone else for its survival. It could not survive if it weren't for others. That's, he said. So let me say this, no job is beneath me. Could you just say that with me? No job is beneath me. I hope you believe it because it's really important. No matter where you are and what you do, you have to always say, no job is beneath me. Like, really, if you are walking in the hallways here and you see trash on the floor, I hope you would always pick it up. If you're walking outside and you see trash out there, I hope you would always pick it up. I hope you wouldn't walk by and say, somebody needs to clean up this place. I hope you would always do that because, really, no job is beneath us. If God humbled himself and became like us, then we should always say, no job is beneath me. Jesus obediently served. So wherever and whatever you're asking, Lord, I'll go and do. Would you say that with me, wherever and whatever? Wherever and whatever you're asking, Lord, I will go and do. That's something we need to keep in our mind. So Jesus obediently served. It says that. He humbled himself and became obedient. I mean, he had to be, yeah, he was obedient. So if Jesus was obedient, we certainly have to be obedient. So there's got to be that in our lives. Jesus gave his life in serving, so I am willing to serve whatever it costs me. Now, this is a bigger one, but it's exactly what he told us and what Paul says. So would you say that with me? I am willing to serve whatever it costs me. Yeah, you don't have to worry that you say, oh, now I've said it, God's going to nail me. It's not how it is. It's not how it is. You can trust God. You can trust God. He already knew what was in your heart. But when we say that, it helps us to face whatever is in front of us. Jesus waited for God to lift him up. So I will serve without whether any person notices or not. See, that's what's really important. He said he waited and God lifted him up. So when we serve, it's not because everybody's going to see me. I don't do something so everybody notices, like, hey, did you see that? Hey, that's pretty good, huh? No. I do it because it's right to do it. I do it because it's important. Now, I'll lose my reward on this one, but I'll tell you anyway. I was driving out of my driveway, and while I was driving out of my driveway, I looked and my neighbor's trash can was in the middle of the street. I was late, and I didn't want to do this, but I thought, you know what? I drove around the circle, came back again, got out, took his trash can, because I knew it was people were going to run over it, stuck it back on his thing. Nobody saw me. Nobody knew. I mean, you know now, but nobody else. So it doesn't really matter whether my neighbor never saw, he never even knew. I mean, they're gone. They weren't aware. But it's the right thing to do. We do right things because they're right to do, whether anybody notices or not. That's what we're all supposed to be doing. So let me hear you say it. I will serve whether any person notices or not. Right, because that's what God's called me. Would you pray this prayer with me? I think it's a safe prayer, but it's a meaningful prayer. Let's do it together. Lord, I find encouragement, comfort, and fellowship when I am a part of a body of believers. When my heart is tender and compassionate, I find joy in agreeing together, in loving together, and in working together. Because you saved me, Jesus, I long to serve. You've given me that desire and will give me the power to please you. I will do my part to not complain or argue, although that's hard for me, because I don't want people to criticize you. I want my light to shine brightly as I look forward to your return. Nothing I do is useless or in vain if I do it just for you. It's a joy for me to serve. I want others to see my joy, to share my joy, and to find that same joy in serving. Thank you, Jesus, for showing me how. Amen. I just wrote the prayer after looking at this passage in Philippians 2. Because I felt like that puts it into a prayer that you can offer back to God. And I would hope that you would pray that more than just now, but you would pray trying to find out how does God want to use your life. So the question before you, how do I find my place? How do I find my place? Scripture says, you formed me with your hands, you made me. Let's stand together. We can read this standing up. I think you can handle this. Here's a statement of affirmation I'd like us to offer. And so if we could read each of these together, as we would do in closing. God has shaped me uniquely for a purpose he designed for me. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Oh, wait a minute. I'm still not sure. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Okay, good. God has shaped you uniquely for a purpose he designed for you. So every one of us has to think that way to be able to discover what does God want to do through my life? How does he want to use me? What does he want to accomplish? So read it again. God has shaped me uniquely for a purpose he designed for me. 2, God has placed me in the body of Christ to share my purpose. So you are here in this body of Christ so that you could be able to use your gifts, your heart, your abilities, your experience, you can use those to make a difference in the kingdom. So let's read it together. God has placed me in the body of Christ to share my purpose. So each of us has to say, okay, he's put me here for that reason. 3, God has called me to be available for this purpose. So that purpose becomes the really important part of your life. You want to discover why you're supposed to do what you're doing. You want to find fulfillment. You want to find energy. He said he gives you, in that passage in Philippians, the desire and the power to do his will. The desire. Okay, the reason you want to do this, God put it inside of you. And you think, can I do this? Well, yeah. He said, I'm giving you the power to do it also. Not only am I giving you the desire, that want to, but I'm giving you the power so you can see it happen. So when we realize that, nothing is impossible, right? Because God is going to give us the desire and the power. So if you see an area of ministry, you say, boy, I'd like to do that. All right, there's your heart. And you say, well, he put that desire in you. So then he's going to give you the power to do it. So we start understanding how he's going to work through each of our lives. Did we read that one? No, thank you. Let's do it together. God has called me to be available for this purpose. So we understand, yes, that's what he is. And God will give me both the energy and the joy when I'm fulfilling that purpose. I can't tell you how many times I have not felt like doing something, and after I do it, I go, wow, I am so glad I did that. Now, people say that about exercise. I'm not really quite there yet. But I will say, almost everything you do, when God is in it and he's leading and he's directing, you're going to find, wow, I have more energy now and a greater joy now than I had before, even though I felt like, I'm not sure I want to do this. I want to go this morning. I don't want to get involved. I don't want to do that. But you go and you say, I'm going to go anyway. And then you come out with energy and joy. Let's read it. God will give me both the energy and the joy when I am fulfilling that purpose. And so each one of us needs to see, where do I fit in? In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as he has given you, the list goes on in Romans 12. He's given each one of us different gifts so we can do it. So you say, well, how do I use mine? Well, I'm glad you ask. It just so happens that directly behind you are some options for you to discover how you can fulfill that purpose. Some of you may say, well, I would love to be a part of all that, but it's snowing and I want to get home. I'm really afraid. Then here's how you can let us know. You can text CONNECT CWC and you put this to, where do you put this? 88202. You put that there, put this in the text box, and automatically you're going to get a response that's going to come from our connections director, Jill. And she's going to say, I'll be in touch with you, and we're going to get in touch with you as soon as possible. As you're going through today, you should have had a little card like this in your bulletin that said, grow and give fair. If you'll just go over there and walk out of the exit doors, even if you don't stay very long, fill that out, then they're going to draw a Bible and a devotional of your choice at the well-read, plus these little containers from the well that are also a part of that, mugs and gift cards. This is 6 hours hot, 12 hours cold. That's what that does. It's pretty cool. And so that is an opportunity for you to be able to know how you can be a part and how you can discover how God wants to work through each of your lives. Let me pray for you. Would you do this for me? Put your hands out straight in front of you as we kind of go, because we've done this lots. It's not scary if you're new with us. I'm not going to do anything weird, so you can just do this for a minute. Envision in front of you the gifts that God has given you, okay? How are you going to use them when you've said, I know what I'm going to do, or I'm ready to do whatever you call me to do? Then you can let go of it, okay? So we'll just do that as I'm praying. Father, we offer to you the gifts. You've given a heart and experience and abilities and personality and spiritual gifts to do what you've called me to do. Lord, I'm turning my hands over. I'm letting go of it. I'm saying, wherever it is, whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to do it. I'm just letting go. It's yours, Lord. Thank you for gifting me, for all that you plan for me. Thank you for putting me in this body of believers. Use me as you will. In Christ's name, amen.